Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David James here with you. Let's welcome in our dear friend, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, who now is brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. Congratulations,
very
Hutton.
Classy. There you go. Classy.
That's a classy joint for you.
Exactly.
I love A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. Are you kidding me?
Click
by print online at momentspeace.com. Let's go.
There you go.
Facials and massages and all that other good stuff.
I've been there.
Mace, for the holidays, I'm going to give you the gift of relaxation. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Peace Salon and Day Spa.
All right, Hutton. Let's start with the latest college football playoff rankings. And we asked ourselves this question to start the show. What should we complain about this week? So, looking at the rankings, here is my major takeaway. I'm not one to leap to the defense of Alabama fans, but I think Alabama fans have every right to be pissed. Dropping, what, 6 spots behind Notre Dame in the college football playoff rankings after losing 1 game, barely, at home to Oklahoma, a great team. So, what should we complain about this week, Hutton?
Look, are you guys like me? This is just a TV show.
Yes.
They've come up with, of course.
Right? I said yesterday that we should not get one of these every week. I believe the NCAA men's basketball tournament, I think they do either one or two of these where they release the top 16 seeds ahead of Selection Sunday. I don't need to see this every week. But to your point, yes, it's made for TV. We're all watching.
It's almost intentional, you know, some of it. Now, we will see, like, if USC beats Oregon, we'll see them creep up, right? And they'll be in it next week, that kind of thing. But by and large, the only one that matters is the final one that comes out. Because, as we know, they can make up the criteria as they go here. They can, you know, to have Notre Dame where they are, have Bama where they are, not a lot of it makes sense in the grand scheme of things. However, Vanderbilt didn't move. That's what I would point to this week.
Now, speaking of that, because we did discuss the Vandy, them not moving at all,
right.
And it's almost starting to seem like. And Adam asked the right question. What can we argue about this week, or what do we need to do?
Right.
It's like, okay, I can argue about where Notre Dame is compared to Alabama. But nobody wants to really hear, because Notre Dame, for all intents and purposes, they're Teflon. That's why they're not getting into a conference.
And Rudy was offside.
Exactly, and Rudy was offside, as we decided. but they're always going to stay independent because that's what best suits them and them getting into the playoffs. But when you look at Vanderbilt, the committee is basically saying, and Vanderbilt has to do they have to do their part as far as winning games, and I think Vandy fans are not saying as much as because they know that everything boils down to those last two games, Kentucky this week and obviously UT next week there in Knoxville. But the committee is telling us loud and clear, Vandy, it's been a great season for y'all. Even if y'all win 10 games, even if y'all go undefeated at home, which they have an opportunity to do this weekend.
Yep. Enjoy the Gasparilla Bowl.
Exactly. So they're basically telling them, enjoy a different bowl because you will not get into college football playoffs unless there's just all of these things
craziness
that need to happen. And even if they do happen, you still may not get into the bowl, college football playoffs. And I just think if that was another SEC team or another team with a bigger brand,
if it was the same brand as Notre Dame,
we wouldn't even be discussing this, whether they would be in a college football playoffs or not. It would be a foregone conclusion.
I still think, okay, I don't think it comes down to a single brand other than the SEC brand. Because I'll go back to this, guys. I don't think the committee wants to put 6 teams in from the SEC.
I grant you that is a legit factor.
But if it needs to happen, it needs to happen.
But Mace, they already hear this SEC bias, BS, all this stuff. And unfortunately for Vanderbilt, they're just the team that sits right there. It could be any – name your team there. As if you have the upper shelf of the SEC already represented, they're not going to dip down to the 10-win team that's, you know, that is the 6th team in when they're already being represented as a conference by five others that are just as good. That's what in the back of their mind. I'm not saying this. I believe in that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I want that. I just think I lean towards that's what they're doing. I'm not saying I would do that if I were them. I think they feel pressure to have everyone represented, unfortunately.
Now, do you think this is, again, it's just another excuse, I think, to add four mm-hmm. more teams to the playoffs, get it to 16 teams.
They will.
Ultimately, where they want to get it. Because even in a situation where you have 12 teams, and Vandy clearly, to me at least, from what I've seen, and I haven't seen yes. all of them, but they deserve yes. to be in the college football playoffs right now, if it was to stop right now, based on what they've done. And there are people within the committee that doesn't believe that, even at 10-2, it seems.
Well, for whatever reason, they value Miami's win against Notre Dame mm-hmm. More than they will, you know, more than they'll value a win over Tennessee at the end for Vanderbilt, right? Mm-hmm. Like that. The fact that Oklahoma won on the road at Tennessee, not at Bama, but at Tennessee, doesn't help Vanderbilt at all. You know, that they needed Tennessee to just keep on rolling. To the point where they end on this high note with a win on the road at Tennessee, and they go in there with 10 wins. Now it just seems like there's not a win that's going to be worthy of bumping them ahead of some of these other programs that are going to be ahead of them at this point. But there's always craziness. There's mm-hmm. always chaos that can help work itself out in this regard. But I'm telling you, part of the chaos will be bumping out a few of the SEC programs that are already represented right now in order to get Vanderbilt in. I don't think it's going to come at the cost of another conference. It'll come at the cost of the SEC. And the SEC will end up with five. And that's with or without Vanderbilt. That sucks. Mm-hmm. But I think that is solely what we're looking at here. Otherwise, I don't know why you wouldn't move Vanderbilt up or down.
Now, another game that I'm interested in, and it may have something to do ultimately with the SEC, is the Oregon and SC game. If yes. Oregon lose that game, now they're 9-2. SC's 9-2, but it seems like SC is so far down. Can they make that much of a leap to get into the college football playoffs? But then if Oregon lose, doesn't that essentially put them out if you're basing it on where Alabama was a couple of weeks ago and where they're at now? Based upon how many slots they slide
Derek,
down.
You're making too much sense.
Yeah, they'll find a way to make them – they'll find a way to be – okay, you're. But who's going to take their spot, USC?
And that's what so I'm saying. Like, Oregon so you're just, is a number
Vandy,
seven.
USC, are we still talking Vandy?
Because Vandy, they're in this because they're squashed between USC and Oregon.
Right.
And if
right,
Oregon
right.
loses to USC, do they
but
move
USC's
up that many spots?
USC's not currently in it, though.
Exactly, I know. But
so they'll just to me, Oregon and USC will just flip flop.
But that wouldn't be fair, would it? Because you got a team that's not in it already facing the team that's in it. And if they beat that team, then all of a sudden they move up that many spots. And see, that's what I'm not. That's why I say it's damn near.
Not that many spots, Mace. Just enough to get in. Right now, USC is where currently?
17.
See,
are they 17? I think they are.
I think they're higher.
They may be higher. I'm looking at, they may be higher in that.
I'm just saying, I think they're in the playoff with the win against Oregon. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I don't know, you know, what Vandy can do other than sit there at 14 like they've done the last 2 weeks. You know, Tennessee moved up three spots, I believe, by playing New Mexico State from last week to this week. But Vanderbilt didn't play and didn't move. It's a weird deal. I think they view it more as we can't have eight teams from the Southeastern Conference in here, even though I think you can make the argument all these deserving programs are coming from the same region, the same conference. They don't want that. And regardless of the strength of schedule emphasis and all these other things, the SEC is going to be represented by more programs than what they had a year ago, but it's not going to be to the benefit of Vanderbilt, at least not right now. That they'll need some other programs ahead of them to lose. Not ahead of them in terms of a Big Ten or an ACC. They need some SEC programs to drop off.
Hutton, ask Willie how he feels about all of that.
I'm with Willie.
You have to win the two games.
That's Coach Willie. I'm not talking about Coach Willie. I'm talking about Willie. Right.
That's
Willie.
The Coach Willie. The other frustrated, it just bugs me, Hutt, that they're not in the discussion more. There should be a discussion
I agree.
If Vanderbilt goes 10-2, that's a tough one to. They weren't even mentioned. In Stuart Vandell's thing.
If they were to win that, that week it was the week.
And I guarantee you, Florida or Tennessee or Alabama, they would be mentioned if they were with Vanderbilt. That's the brand thing that I'm talking about.
Okay, now that's fair. They would be used as a discussion point to get people pissed off.
And they may be in they may still be in the same spot because, like you said, I can understand why they are where they are.
But
the other part of it is you have to win the two games
100%
to get into having an argument to be ticked off. It's really irrelevant until then. But it is interesting to note how it's just, Vanderbilt's a nice story. But, let's put him at 14,
Yeah, totally agree with you.
It's very easy to do that.
They're doing Vandy worse than they did Indiana last year.
Well, Indiana didn't have a loss, though. Like, they have one loss. That was the thing, there was really, you were trying to make the argument as to why they didn't deserve to be in, but they were ranked so high by the end of it. If you knocked them down a couple pegs, they were still going to be in. It was whether or not they were going to host a game or not.
Right. So,
and by the way, with Vandy, you can say this about a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. Georgia Tech comes to mind too. Had they won their game right before this week where they released their first poll for the college football playoff, I would love to have known where Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt would have been. Had Vanderbilt pulled that comeback against Texas, that was that following Tuesday, I believe, when the first poll came out. And I would have loved to have seen where Vanderbilt would have been and how many SEC programs they would have, because there would be no choice but to put them in, because that would have been a victory right there for Vanderbilt. But again, Texas probably gets knocked out of it.
Yes. So there's still games to be played. You've got to put all these wins in the clubhouse and see where the chips fall in a couple weeks.
Yes.
So Hutt, the Titans, we've talked a lot. The weekly trying to figure out, I think you could argue that Cam Ward took a couple of little baby steps forward on Sunday. He had, he got him down there, he got him tied. He had a couple of runs, which we hadn't seen a lot. He got rid of the ball a little bit quicker. These are little baby steps that we want to see more of. But it is, you just look at the numbers as a whole, it's just hard to get around how ugly the numbers are. I don't know what your vision was before the season started. I thought the numbers would look a little better.
Numbers and just the overall eye test of just progressing, Everything's a struggle. I believe he completes on that opening drive to start the game. He completes passes to five or six different receivers on that drive. But a lot of those are screen passes. They're trying to get him in rhythm. And even some of those passes are off the mark. The receiver, Mace, Will, I'm glad you bring this up because I think it's a good question for Mace. I've never played quarterback. And I played receiver in a wing tee offense in high school, if that tells you anything, all right? I'm saying
– How many catches?
I'm saying the receivers end up making the play instead of the quarterback making it easy on them. And, the Mason Kinsey's, put it on him. Put the ball on him. Because I'm here to tell you, with the depth the way it is right now, he needs to make it as easy as possible on these guys. These guys don't need to be making acrobatic catches – in order to come down with it. And he's got to drop some passes in the bucket that are, I'm not trying to really crap all over the guy here, but the pass to Okonkwo, Willie, while it happened in a big moment in the game, that's a routine play we see in the NFL by good quarterbacks. That's not it's not like this unbelievable play that you just can't believe it and he's really turning a corner. I see, you're right, baby steps is the right way to phrase it. I don't see corner turned. I think that's maybe the best way I can describe it, is I see these small progressions that turn into just glimpses instead of anchor points as they are pivot points for a season where we start to see him really grasp things. I think he's processing things better. you know, I like the way he was able to tuck the ball and run for some easy plays, easy yards. He was able to get down, no harm, no foul. But yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of things that just feel like everything's just so difficult to get some yardage, and that's frustrating. It's got to be frustrating for him, for the offense, but also, like, I get where fans are like, man, when are we going to see something here? Because, you know, it's one thing to say, like, okay, they led down and got a touchdown, great, that's awesome, but where is it the rest of the time? And there's just no symmetry to anything. Everything is like nails on a chalkboard right now, and it's difficult to watch. It really is.
I'd love to see. We were talking about Bryce Young and the Panthers yesterday. A nice mm-hmm. story at 6-5, and Bryce Young has made, I think, some baby steps, right? But
sure,
if Cam Ward is in his third year and looks like Bryce Young does now, I still think there'll be a lot of disappointment, right? Because
his
numbers still aren't that great.
No doubt. I mean, if 7 months ago we were talking about how we would be comparing him to Bryce Young, that's not good enough, you know? Not for the number one, not for this team where the expectations are, especially with the head coach they had at the time. That's just not good enough. And we're not going to be able to see much progression and much improvement until we see the new coaching staff come in and really get their hands and get their coaching around him. Because right now, I mean, there is just a lot of going through the motions. On top of everything, you've got a coach who plays very conservative. So, you know, he's got an offensive line that's jumping off sides. Even if he were to make a good play here or there, there's a lot of things working against him. But he doesn't do the layup type plays. I'm not talking about the Okonkwo play now. That's not a layup play, but that is a play that's made that we can see in the NFL every week, that type of throw. I'm talking just the first down, chain moving plays. There's a lot of things working against him, but when he's got the play there, he's got to hit his guy. Even on screen passes, all types of things like that. He can't spin the guy back around and have him lose yardage, and by the time he, you know, gathers himself, he's overwhelmed by defenders. There's got to be more to it than that, especially whatever they are in the season, guys. I've wanted to see more, and it's not just numbers. I'm the numbers on paper look bad, but it's more than that, because there are always things that could be explained. I think there are a lot of nuance to this that leave you wondering, okay, is this guy going to get it, or is he going to be good, or is he going to be great? And right now it seems like he's just going to be the ceiling seems like a good quarterback, but it's way too early to say that. I'm not calling him a bust by any means. But I want to see more before I proclaim everything just to be okay, because right now it doesn't look like everything's okay.
Jonathan Hutton has been our guest on D-Mace, Ving, and Adonic. He joins us every Wednesday at 5, and he is now brought to you by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa in Cool Springs. Hutton, before silly underdog picks, you've been doing this over the past couple of weeks. You wonder if somebody's going to take what?
I wonder if someone's going to take Florida.
Over Tennessee? We shall see. Hutton,
Florida.
We'll talk to you next week.
Mace, go with Flo Rida. Do it.
Now you didn't put that in my head. Oh, no.
We'll see what Derek does coming up next. Hutton, always a pleasure, my friend. 615-737-1025. It is time for silly underdog picks. Let's see if Chris Sanders actually joins us this week.
His team lost, didn't it?
Oh, they lost. So did yours. Yeah. And so did Hal's. Mine
exactly.
Didn't, though.
So he should be here on time.
We'll see. 615-737-1025. Silly underdog picks is next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Ving, and 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is time for Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. After a couple of weeks as acting commissioner, I am proud to hand over those duties back to the man who does it better than anybody else, Willie Donick.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is your commissioner speaking. And speaking English, not coming at you in Swedish. I was wondering if the song Willie Dynamite would be performed in Swedish. Was it ever performed in Sweden? I don't know.
That is unconfirmed right
I'm not sure it translates from English to Swedish.
Do they have a Willie Dynamite-type character in Stockholm? I don't know. I did not run across
it. No, now that you're not there anymore.
I could see if I could get Swedish chef to sing it next time.
The Swedish chef was mentioned more than once when we were in Sweden and by Paul McCann more than once himself. Who doesn't like the Swedish
and
chef?
And you will have to explain to Hal Gill why he wasn't invited to Sweden. You'll have to talk to him about that in just
a moment. We're going to leave certain things off the air. I know how Hal feels about this. D-Mace, can you give us like a 10-second evaluation of Adam, the commissioner, interim commissioner?
Okay. Adam.
The peanut gallery is already weighed in.
Yes, Adam, let that power get to his head. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
And it
corrupted Adam for 2 weeks. You should have saw it, Willie. You should have heard it, Willie.
I will admit, I mean, I abused my power in more ways than one.
Yes. He wanted to kick Chris out of the game.
Chris, is this true? Chris, do you need the real commissioner to come in and drop the hammer on Adam?
Man, I miss you, man. I want to hug your neck, man. I really do, man. I mean, it's like this, man. I thought I was at a hockey game, and I just want to go, you suck. That's how I just kept thinking.
Hey, Chris, I do need you to speak a little bit louder, though, all the way from last place.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
Ooh, burn. He can't say anything.
I'm sorry. I can't say nothing. I'm sorry, Al.
Hal Gill is also here. Hello, Hal.
Hal, any comments on the interim commissioner?
I just have a question to ask. Like, Adam starts chipping away and moving up the ladder as the commissioner. How does that work?
Fair question. I'm above board here.
Seems like we're implying some things.
Mm. And Willie, he wanted to take points, deduct points from people.
Deduct points.
He had the reins for about two minutes, and he was already making moves.
See, this is good because it makes me look good as a commissioner. I have never docked a contestant points.
Ever?
He was ready, Willie.
I was ready.
No. That does not happen.
Can't give him any power.
But the pin was out. The eraser was near the points.
Yes.
Like that kid in school that when he became the traffic cop, he had to put on his little, you know, we had these little.
The hall monitor?
But we were the guy that we had to go outside when the buses were coming, tell everybody.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you're crossing guard. Yeah. You got your
This may come as a shock. This may come as a shock.
I saw a lot of people. Get that position, and they've abused it.
This may come as a shock because I know I give major hall monitor vibes. I was never a hall monitor.
You were never a hall monitor?
No.
Wow.
No, I was
even
not.
I was a hall
they
monitor
knew
once.
Right then and there, they're like, he can't have this
if you're
power.
Gonna, if you're going to give off the vibes, shouldn't you just go all in and be the guy?
Maybe. Even I was the
and
hall
take
monitor.
Take the power?
I don't know. But, Willie, now that you're back in the commissioner's chair, let's recap.
Right, because Adam can't wait to read these results.
Let's do it. Let's start with Chris Sanders.
Chris Sanders, week 12, had the first pick. He did. Came in with 21.5 points, looking him up, making his customarily high pick, going with UAB, the Blazers. 18.5 points, an underdog against North Texas. Mm-hmm. North Texas having a heck of a year. The Mean Green.
Yes, they are.
53-24. No defense for Chris.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
It's like being a commissioner. I mean, you just make bad picks. I mean, that's just what it is.
UAB was good to you a few weeks ago, Chris. They did get you 21.5. You would go back to the well. D-Mace, coming off a good win 2 weeks ago with Wake Forest, in the lead right now, took Pitt.
I needed that to happen, Willie. I needed it.
12.5 points. Yes, I was with you. I was in the Pitt bunker hoping to knock off the Fighting Irish. But too much Notre Dame. 37-15, Notre Dame, an impressive road win. So D-May stays at 38.5. What happened to your Panthers?
Hey, man, I chose that game because I figured it would help Vandy. So I was all in on Vandy. It had nothing to do with Pitt.
And now we get to heartbreak Hal Gill. Hal, 2 weeks in a row, absolute Whitney Houston, heartbreak hotel. Northwestern, 12.5 point dog against Michigan. Wrigley Field, tremendous setting.
Beautiful setting. Beautiful.
For any sporting event. Northwestern lines up, and Michigan despite five turnovers, able to kick the game-winning field goal and win 24-22. How are you mentally right now? This is your rookie year in this competition. This is part of the tough part of it. So how are you holding up at this point?
You know what? 2 weeks ago was the same story. I saw it. I went through the drama. This last week, I had the update. So it said it was done. And it came out as a final. I was winning. And then it updated and said with 0.02 seconds left, they kicked a field goal. And that is what got me.
So on your phone, they had tenths of seconds, 0.02 seconds left.
Thought he won, but then he ended up losing. Heartbreaker.
Tough. And then Adam Vingan, he's been waiting all day. He couldn't wait when I got home from Sweden. Did you know I won my pick? As soon as I get back home, the first thing, do you know I won my pick? You know I was the only guy that won.
You should have said, who is this?
Adam had Navy, 10.5-point dogs against USF. And the midshipman, yes, Adam pretending that he's actually in the Naval Academy.
In the Navy.
41-38 is the final. Adam picks up 10.5 big ones.
Hot diggity.
And moves out of the cellar like Rat with the album back in the day. Goes
Who
to 4-8.
Hot diggity.
28.5. So he moves from fourth to second.
Wow. Big jump.
You know, I was raised in the Navy town. Shout out. Hampton Roads area, Virginia. So I knew the midshipmen would come through.
Yeah, I knew
they would.
You was hoping and praying.
It was a little hairy there. It was back and forth. A really exciting second half. But Navy pulls it out.
So here are the standings after 12 weeks. D-Mace.
Seven C's, please.
Make sure to emphasize who's in last place as you're reading these
points. Here are the standings.
Oh,
D-Mace, 38.5 in the lead. Mm-hmm. Now Adam moves up to second, 28.5. Howell with 25, still within striking distance. And, yes, Chris Sanders is back in the cellar. But still, one big win the way he does it, he could vault. 21.5. So that brings us to week 13. The first pick of the week goes to the leader, currently Derek Mason.
Man, that song just made me want to run through a big brick wall. Let's go. All right. I am going with, you know, HUD. He trying to nudge me to that Florida and Tennessee game, but I just don't trust it. I think Tennessee's going to blow him out. But I am going to the Big Ten. This is where my career started. And I'm going I said that my career started in the Big Ten. I ain't say which team. I'm going with USC over Oregon.
Okay.
I'm taking SC over Oregon.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Even though SC and Oregon really ain't from the Big Ten, but they are in the Big Ten.
Yes, yeah, so this is
this weird.
It's a Big Ten
It's weird.
Where is that game?
Matchup.
Where is that game?
Eugene, Oregon.
Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
USC is a 9.5-point dog. They are ranked 15th at 8-2. This is really their season.
This is their season right here.
Maybe could get into a interesting discussion if they could pull this win. Oregon at 9-1. That game is on CBS at 2:30.
And I
Saturday.
Hate it because if they do win USC, they may jump over Vanderbilt.
It would cloud
exactly
Vanderbilt's.
But
hopes.
I gotta pick them because they're underdog.
Okay.
All right. So USC is down in Penn. That brings us to the second pick of the week. The rookie, heartbreak Hal Gill. 2 weeks in a row, the last second field goal to slip. Bluegill.
All right. Well, and listen, D-Mace, that's a stupid pick. Who would take that?
Oh, man.
I see somebody wanted that pick.
May have been on the list.
All right, that's dumb. I hope you lose, you know, because you know what? I was trying to fight misery and looking up and down, and I don't need any more misery, but I do have Missouri, and I'll take Missouri to win it.
Missouri.
I think
this
I'm
would be again.
In at 7.5.
I thought about Missouri too. I did.
Missouri is a 7.5-point dog playing at Oklahoma, trying to spoil Oklahoma's party. Now, this would be a big win for Vanderbilt on two fronts. It would hurt Oklahoma and also make Vanderbilt's win over Missouri look better. So I'm down with the Tigers. Let's go.
There we go.
Let's do it.
Mizzou for 7.5. That brings us to Adam Vingan for pick number 3.
So last week, I had success.
Is this the music of a hall monitor, I ask you?
No. One texter, by the way, said Adam was Peter Brady. That's an episode of the Brady Bunch, right?
Yes.
Where Peter Brady is the hall monitor and is corrupted by power.
That is you, definitely.
I don't think that's me. But last week, I had success picking against the team in 12th, the group of five team in the college football playoff. That was South Florida. So this week, I'm going to do the same thing. I am going to pick against Tulane by taking Temple, a 7.5-point underdog, to beat the Green Wave.
You know, I was doing a little perusing.
I thought
perusing.
You were going to Kansas State when you said the number 12 team. But
I was perusing, and I did notice that game. I did notice that is an interesting game. Temple is a 7.5-point home dog because this is the time of the year where, you know, when you're in the rankings and you're kind of on the inside and everybody's on the outside looking in, there is pressure. And you're on the road. This would make Temple season to pull off a big upset like
and
that.
And South Florida is done. South Florida's done after losing to Navy. So Tulane could be done after losing to Temple.
So Adam's just trying to crush more dreams. Takes Temple. The Owls are a 7.5-point dog playing at home in Philly, Lincoln Financial Field, against number 24, Tulane.
One texter, Hair Metal Henry, says, I see Adam as the audio-visual projector guy. I think that's more appropriate.
That was a very coveted job back in the day.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
get to wear a hat that says AV, and those are my initials. Yeah. So there that would go. Be pretty cool.
Ooh.
Okay, right. Get to Chris.
That gets us to the last pick. Chris Sanders, he's left us in suspense. What has he got up his sleeve this week?
Oh, this is a big one.
Does he have one more big score?
Yes, I do.
Chris, I heard you're the honorary Titan this weekend.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Are they going to be booming out this song?
He's going to pick Rutgers.
I think they should play this song, though. Get the crowd fired up.
Because Lionel nothing Richie. Gets the crowd fired up like Lionel Richie.
Singing hello.
I'm going to play Too Legit to Quit. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to play. No, this is going to put me over the top. This is going to give me the lead. This is going to be Rutgers. My best pick in the last 4 to 5 years.
Syracuse.
Ball State over Toledo, 27. Let's go.
He loves Ball State. You love Ball State almost as much as you love Stanford. Stanford is singular. Ball State is plural.
Ball State is plural.
So that's a bird and the other one's a tree.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Adam Vertatari.
There already have been some conference games in the MAC played
this
week.
Does this game exist?
It does exist.
It does exist. Okay.
It's a rare MAC Saturday game.
Ooh, at the Glass Bowl. The Glass Bowl in Toledo, Ohio.
Let's go.
Home of the Toledo Rockets. Ball State, a 27.5-point dog at 4-6.
Have y'all phones ready.
Here's the question. What does Chris know? He seems extra confident in this one. Has he consulted with the former Ball State Cardinal, Blaine Bishop? I don't know. Is it possible?
No. Yeah, I talked to him, and then the Cardinal flew to my house. He said, Chris, pick me. I said, I got you, big dog, and they're going to win.
27.5. That would be among the biggest. Ooh. Chris has hit some 20-plus games.
No,
I don't know.
27.5. I hit a 34. Remember?
34? I got to go back and look. See if I can find
it. It was Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt beat Missouri.
Vanderbilt did beat Missouri.
Was
it 34?
That's what I'm saying.
It was 34.
We got to check that.
What year was this?
A couple years. It was
1884?
Derek May, 2019, I think.
Was it 1884?
1882.
I mean, come on. He better not win. He better not win.
Okay.
If I win, get your phones ready. Not ready, but ready. Ready.
Okay, here's what we got. For week 13, it is good to be back in the commissioner's chair. Here's what we have. Derek Mason, the current leader in the competition. he has selected a traditional Big Ten matchup. Southern Cal, a 9.5-point dog up in Eugene to take on the Oregon Ducks. 2:30 game on Saturday. Hal Gill trying to get over the top. He has been inching. He's been so close to big points the last couple of weeks. This week he goes with Missouri, a 7.5-point dog on the road as they take on Oklahoma, who suddenly is right in the thick of things in the playoff picture. Adam Vingan, currently on a roll, coming off the big win by the Naval Academy. Now he goes a little closer in the region, and he goes to Philadelphia, home of the Temple Owls, a 7.5-point dog playing at home against Tulane, who is coming up from New Orleans, right now holding the spot for the non-Power Four,
the group of five
representative. So pressure on. Chris Sanders going big, even for him. Going with the Ball State Cardinals out of the Mid-American Conference. A 27.5-point dog at Toledo. Toledo is a 27.5-point favorite. These are our picks for Week 13. Remember, you can make the people's pick just around the corner, 615-737-1025. If you win representing the people, we have a prize for you. But the picks are in the book for Week 13. Gentlemen, as always, good luck.
I'm glad Willie's back. I really am, because you abused your authority, Adam, with being a commissioner, and you other two, Hal and Chris. I hope y'all lose along with Adam. Okay, I hope y'all lose. Hope y'all teams get beat by 100.
The strategy of just trying to intimidate the opponent so far is working for D-Mace. It's working for him. Yeah. He's got the lead.
I don't know how I'm gonna imitating.
What am I trying to say?
Intimidating. How can I intimidate Hal? How can I intimidate Hal?
You're saying it's impossible to intimidate Hal?
Exactly. How can you intimidate Hal?
He's heard it all before, you're
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. He's a hockey player. He didn't heard it all, man. Come on.
Hal, what's the meanest thing an opponent has ever said to you that you can share on the air?
I can't say it on the air.
Fair enough. All right, gentlemen, good luck. 615-737.
I've heard it all.
I know you have. 615-737-1025. It's time for you to call to represent the people. And if you represent the people and win, you will win a 4-pack of tickets to see All Elite Wrestling, Dynamite, and Collision at the Pinnacle downtown a week from today, Wednesday, November 26th. Call now, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, The Game. It's time to get the people's pick for silly underdog picks. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, and welcome in Randy. Randy, welcome to the competition. Your selection, please.
Hello, I'm picking Florida over Tennessee.
Okay.
There we
go.
Good
luck, Randy.
Randy, appreciate it.
Is taking Jonathan Hutton's advice.
Yes, he is.
And taking Florida over Tennessee.
Are we sure that wasn't Jonathan Hutton in disguise, disguising his voice?
I believe Florida is a 4-point underdog.
Yes, 4.
That is correct.
Against Tennessee.
In the swamp.
Oh.
The swamp.
That could be an interesting game.
The swamp.
We know how Tennessee fans feel about the Vols playing at Florida.
The people have been smart. They have not gone recently with the big underdog. They're taking a more reasonable underdog with a shot.
I think as the season goes on, those big, like, underdog picks, they're not intriguing games anymore, because usually at the beginning of the season, you get games that are more intriguing with bigger margins for some reason.
So last week, we did have a winner whose name is escaping me at the moment, but we did have a winner. They selected Oklahoma over Alabama. Mm-hmm. They won tickets to see Matt Rife at Bridgestone Arena next October.
Yes.
Hair Metal Henry says, on a side note, gentlemen, thanks for letting me play several weeks ago. I won tickets to Brian Adams and Pat Benatar. Was a phenomenal
show.
Well,
great. I'm glad you loved it.
I'd like to hear that. We sent a few people to that concert.
Yes, we did.
Last week's winner was Josh.
Josh, congratulations, Josh. You get to see Matt Rife in like 11 months.
We had a winner with Oklahoma over Tennessee as well. So Oklahoma's
been good
for the people.
Been good for the people. So if Randy wins, he'll be at AEW Dynamite in Collision next Wednesday. I'm sure I'll be there as well. So if you win those tickets, say hello. So I want to end the show on a somewhat lighthearted note. So, Willie, I'm sure you saw this last week. New Jersey Devils star Jack Hughes suffered an injury which was called a quote-unquote freak accident at a team dinner. I believe the report was he cut his finger on some glass. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he's out for several weeks, which is a huge loss for the New Jersey Devils. Here's another story today out of South Florida, reading from the Associated Press, quote, "The two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers are now dealing with even more injuries, including one sustained in a grilling accident. And Coach Paul Maurice, when looking at the big picture, is seeing all of this as a way for the champs to get even better. Forward Etu Listerainen will be listed as week-to-week," Maurice said Wednesday, "after what the coach described as a quote-unquote barbecuing mishap."
Man.
Do we have the details of the mishap?
Yeah, exactly. Was he flipping burgers? Was he...
barbecuing mishap.
This is a problem when you play in South Florida because the season of barbecuing and grilling is extended.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you're grilling out in Winnipeg or Edmonton these days. That's probably not going to... Percentages
not
would
to
tell
make
you,
light of the situation. Not,
but the percentages of getting hurt in a grill accident in Winnipeg right now are lower.
But I'm sure some people in Winnipeg, no matter what temperature it is, they'll grill.
They'll find a way to do it.
Yeah, they'll find
and
a way.
And people who are going to grill
they're
going to
grill. A good friend of mine is like that. He grills all day, every day, it seems.
Maurice said that Listerainen suffered burns in the incident, but it wasn't serious enough that he had to stay overnight in the hospital. Still, he was burnt badly enough that Maurice labeled him week to week.
Yeah, I wonder what happened. Did the flames, like he lifted the thing up, but he was lighting it with, you know, the charkeal or whatnot. It just blew in. I don't know what happened, man.
Safety. Safety.
Yeah, wear gloves or something, man.
So
use some tongs. Use the tongs, man. No,
or hire a grill guy.
Yeah, hire a grill guy.
Yeah, not to make light of the situation.
Or just get a smaller
I'm
grill.
I'm glad he's okay.
Yes.
He's a very good player. Yeah.
He needs to go to a George Foreman then. He needs to go to a George Foreman. Plug it up.
Yes.
Just throw it on. Yeah, no fire involved.
Casey in Gallatin says, "You guys are awesome. For the record, I won the people's pick in week 2 or 3, I believe, and won tickets to Papa Roach. That was also a super cool show, and I'm very grateful for you guys and the opportunity."
Well, we are grateful.
We aim to please.
That you called.
Okay.
You're listening.
Do we have Wes in Hermitage? If you want to call, you need to call now. So when we talked about this last week, the Jack Hughes thing, Wes from Hermitage said his girlfriend suffered a similar injury by falling out of a window.
Ooh,
I think that's what it was, and he left us hanging. So Wes, if you call right now, you have like a minute to come on and tell the story. So you need to call literally right now. Yeah. Oh, he goes, "No, I'll try tomorrow." Okay, you can call tomorrow. That's fine.
Man, falling through a window.
Falling through a window.
It's tough.
That is tough. But what's the worst injury you've suffered while cooking?
While cooking.
I burned myself.
Yeah, we've all gotten a little burn here or there.
And that's the worst, because when you burn your hand, it just affects the whole day after that.
Yeah.
It just messes up the whole day. So, but yeah, that's the extent to my injuries when it came to cooking or grilling.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't done anything outside of that. You know, and I pride myself on being a really good cook, you know?
Yeah.
I know how to use the tongs and the utensils and the spatulas. And I do wear gloves when I get the things out the oven.
Safety.
Yeah, safety's first. And I do got a hat.
Okay, we've got Wes on our phone line. Wes, you've got like 30 seconds. Tell us the story.
Now.
Oh, man, you made it sound like it was such a big thing, but it really wasn't that big. But, yeah, she was cleaning a window in her daughter's bedroom and apparently found the pressure point on the window. And next thing I know, she was... went from being in her daughter's bedroom to being on the front porch.
Jeez.
Wow.
And
she's okay, though,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, we went to the hospital. Oh, yeah, she's okay. She got 9 stitches. The stitches got infected, but the wound did not. Everything is good, but it can happen, and it is crazy when it does.
Ooh. Thank you for the call, Wes. Yes. Stay away from broken glass, sharp glass.
And they will not find the pressure points in the window.
Stay away from barbecues, apparently. Yeah. That'll do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Barry Trotz joins us at 4. Elliot Freeman joins us at 5. So we got a lot of hockey talk
Double
tomorrow.
Double barrel action.
We will get back to the Titans
and tonight,
as well.
We have a lot of hockey talk.
Yes.
Tonight.
Preds Insiders with me and Willie coming up at 7. But Smashville Live, I almost forgot the name of the program. Smashville Live with Ryan O'Reilly and Matt Wood coming up next.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed. blessed, wonderful Wednesday. I love you. The team love you. You hear that music. Don't you ever forget about us, because we will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. on 102.5. Peace.